Good morning and welcome to another online Awaken sermon. And you are all in for an amazing surprise this morning. Here is one of my favorite people in the entire world sitting across from me on a computer screen, Dan Howe.
Hey, Dave, good to see you and my Awaken friends. It's good to be back with you, although it's a little bit different than last time. But it's good to see you all again. And Dave, yeah, thanks for the opportunity.
Of course. So glad that you can be on here with us this morning. Dan, what he's referencing, he spoke at Awaken probably about 3 years ago. It was November, 3 years back, 2017. And now he gets to join us virtually. So Dan, can you give us a little update for anyone who wasn't there the last time that you spoke at Awaken? Maybe you're a new face for some people. Maybe some people forgot you. I don't know how, but maybe they did. Can you explain a bit about your role at Round Hill Community Church and what you do there?
Yeah. So I'm the associate minister at Round Hill Community Church, which is not too far away from you all in Connecticut. And I've been there for 5 years. And so part of my role is to oversee and kind of direct all the children's and youth programs, do pastoral care, and also take care of like our outreach and missions locally and globally as well. So I do a little bit of everything. I wear lots of different hats, some funny hats, some funky hats, some hats turned on backwards, some cowboy hats, all different hats at different times. Yeah, a little bit of everything.
Awesome. And you actually just had a bit of a break from Round Hill Community Church, have you not?
Oh, I have. Yeah, so
we've been on a 3 month sabbatical. Is that correct?
3 month sabbatical, and I actually so as we're recording this now, I actually go back to work officially tomorrow. Yes, so my 3 month sabbatical, which was really a gift provided to me from the congregation. So they Round Hill has this sort of policy that after a certain amount of years of work for Round Hill, it's 5 years. They'll give you a break. And the idea for this break is to have a time, an extended time of rest, of reflection, of recreation, whatever you need to do to come back really feeling refreshed and re-energized for the work and the ministry ahead. So I do feel very grateful for that. And it's been a really good 3 months. It came at a good time. As we all know, the spring was a very challenging period for us all personally, professionally, for churches going through the quarantine and COVID. And so the break came at a good time for me personally and for my family as well.
So you're ready to go back tomorrow?
No, I am not. So Awaken, please say a prayer for me as I go back. And one of the interesting things is I actually don't know when I'm going back to. I mean, just as we talked about when I preached at Awaken 3 years ago, just think of how much has changed in those 3 years. Well, almost equally as much has changed in the span of 3 months from May when I was last working to now. So much in our world, so much in our society, and I think so much in my church has changed, and I don't even know what to expect when I go back. So it will be a very interesting time, but I do think and believe that I am in a better place to be able to come back to work and to be able to face the challenges that I need to face, that we all need to face, thanks to the rest I had into the sabbatical.
Yeah. Well, okay, so two questions for you. First, you mentioned you're not sure what you're going back to. The purpose of a sabbatical is to basically completely step away from everything. So you've had no contact with the church whatsoever in the past 3 months, right?
Zero. I haven't checked my email. I deleted my email and all social media accounts. I've seen some people outside, like at restaurants, and they're kind of avoiding eye contact. I'm avoiding eye contact. Oh, yeah. I'm like, turning away. Like I was going on a jog the other day. I saw somebody and I turned the other way. And it was a little embarrassing. So I haven't seen anyone. And here's for people that may not know, the real challenge of it all is I live on church campus. So goes 3 months. You don't have to see anybody when you live on church campus.
Is that why you got tinted windows the past couple months?
Oh yeah, tinted windows. Yeah, those curtains that block out everything, and it's we never go outside for 3 months.
So you really are just stepping into a complete unknown tomorrow.
I really am. Yeah, and then I'm preaching on Sunday. So stepping.
Are you really?
I am. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yes, I am. So I'm just jumping back in.
Well, you'll be preaching two places on Sunday because this is going to be airing on Sunday. So you'll be in two places at once.
I'm going global. I'm preaching multiple locations, multiple spots, multiple congregations. I like it.
Yeah. Hey, I do what I can for you. So, okay, let's talk a bit about, here you are, May. You're about ready to step into 3 months of this sabbatical, and that you explained to us, rest, reflection, recreation. What were some of your hopes, some of your dreams and aspirations at the end of May as you began approaching this period?
I was hoping to grow a beard.
So I see. You've done that well.
Accomplished, yes. So here's the reality is, partly because of COVID, and probably a large part of that, but also just 5 years of ministry, and Dave, you know, you can appreciate this. It can be exhausting, you know, and when I had left, we had lived in France, and so we moved back, and I had like a 6-day break between leaving one job and moving back, relocating, starting another job, and then I just went full steam ahead for 5 years. And our church was in a development phase, kind of a rebirth phase. So the 5 years were really intense, very meaningful, great challenges, lots of accomplishments, failures, successes, all of that. And I was just tired, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I think I was exhausted, and I didn't even realize it. Other people were beginning to realize it for me and sort of hinting at, I just need some time to kind of step back and to reflect and to realign myself with kind of get in touch with my heart again and to do some work in the soul. So one of the things that was my personal goal was to really see my soul taken care of, to restore my soul for myself and for my family, for my faith, and for my congregation. And the way I was going, I just didn't have the time, or at least I should say, I wasn't making or prioritizing the time that I needed to do that internal work. And that was my main goal for the sabbatical, was through an intensive week away, which I did through intentional reading, conversations, times with my mentors, obviously via Zoom, all these things that it would attend to my soul and kind of my internal state of affairs. And that would hopefully have external benefit and just a good impact.
Yeah, spilling over into every other area.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, one of the things, I read this great story from the Jewish tradition, and I think this was true for me and maybe for a lot of us. So there was this rabbi that was watching this man running really fast. And this rabbi said, excuse me, why are you running? And this young man said, I'm running after my fortune. I'm running after my good fortune. And then the rabbi said, silly man, your fortune has been chasing after you the whole time, but you're running too fast. And I think for me, I was running too fast. And I just needed to take a pause, to slow down, and just to allow God's spirit to catch up with me and to do that work. But until I stopped, until I paused, until I rested, none of that was going to happen. And that was a gift for me to be able to have, obviously, an extended period of that. And that not everyone gets 3 months, but
sure.
More I thought about that, you know, I was able to develop certain rhythms and certain practices that were helpful. And my prayer now, as I start work tomorrow, is that many of those will be able to carry over. Many of those will be able to spill over into kind of normal life. That and that I'll be able to really be disciplined and intentional with finding a day a week, at least, to be able to focus and to continue to do that work.
Yeah, and I love that story that you told. I love that story. What a beautiful picture, right? And I think so many of us, I know I can relate to that. We're moving so fast, we're moving at light speed, and just this picture of God actually trying to catch up to us, and we're like a moving target, and God's like, wait, hold on a second here. So that actually, it leads to another question I have then for you. During these 3 months, how did you experience God? When God finally caught up to you, I'm hoping that you feel that way, that you were able to pause enough that God was able to catch up to you. How did you experience God in those moments?
Yeah. So just by the word that comes to mind, well, it's two words. One is presence. And when I was able to be more present, just in general, more present with myself, more present in nature, more present with my family, God was more present to me. And so I spent a lot of time outside. You know, I really literally stopped and smelled the roses. and hear the crickets and see butterflies and just take time to go for hikes. You and I went for a hike once with our kids, and I would just spend as much time outside with nowhere to go, with no agenda, not rushing, just savoring and feeling the delight of God's presence and the beauty of creation. And that was a huge gift. And I was able to be more present with my family, to slow down and to make meals together. We played board games. I mean, all of us probably did some of this back in the spring when we couldn't do anything else. But I was able to really enjoy those and just be present. And by really being present, and this also was sometimes I'd be present, but I'd be with my boys, let's say, but my mind was on other things. You know, I wasn't really, my body was there, but my mind, my heart, my spirit was somewhere else. And I was really trying to be all in, be fully present, be vulnerable, be transparent, be authentic, even with my fears, my hopes, no matter what I was feeling, rather than kind of pushing those feelings aside and trying to not deal with them, just be real. And I think what I've discovered is the more real I was able to be with myself, with others, and with God, the more vulnerable I was able to be, the more present God became, and then the healing began. So that was something that was really important, one word, presence. And here's another one that I was thinking of. And this really, part of this came from the work I did on restoring the soul. The word enough. Now, think about this word. Depending on how you say it, it has different connotations. So sometimes if my darling children, my two boys, are not listening or being disrespectful, which never happens, by the way.
Of course.
They're perfect children, as all of our children are.
Yes.
But sometimes I'll say, that's enough. I've had enough. Stop doing it, right? So that's one word, enough. Or picture this. If you're, let's say, at a restaurant and someone's pouring water or other beverages or filling, a table, and you're like, oh, that's enough. Like, I'm good. That's enough. That's another way to use that. But a third way that really came to me was in picturing in God's creation, God's work of creation, you know, those 6 days, and he rested. But he rested, and my sense is he has this sigh, like, that's enough. It's enough. It's good. And all that God created was good. It's enough. And I've been trying to do that word enough, to realize that the work, when you stop work one day a week, let's say on Sabbath, whenever that is, you're actually intentionally stopping and you're realizing that the work you've done is enough, mm-hmm. that the world will continue to spin without you. Your company will continue to flourish and work. The church will continue to stand, you know, that you've done enough. But also when I've started to realize that, when I stop and slow down, I say, okay, it's enough. And not like in a negative sense, like, I gotta do more. Just say, that's enough. I've done enough. I've done all I can do. I've done enough. Then something started to come over me, which was really hard at first, but important. I started to believe, or at least hear the words from God saying, Dan, yes, and you are enough. Just that you're enough. Because I, for so many years, I'm trying to win people's pleasure or to win their favor, or I feel like I've got to work harder and harder, can't disappoint people, have to preach a better sermon, have to do this, because I don't feel like I am enough. And that was that's a lie in the shadow side. And I'm coming to terms with God's really believing that, like, we are enough. And then when I believe I'm enough, I believe I have enough. I'm content with what I have. I'm not chasing after that next thing, chasing after more money, more promotions. Like, you know, look around and say, we have enough. I am enough. We have enough. It is enough. And for me, that's all of a sudden, then I can start to say, it is well with my soul. But none of this work would have happened if I didn't first stop. Just stop and rest and take that time. And again, that was a gift given to me, almost forced upon me, because the church said, you need a sabbatical. But I realized that, look, God gives us this gift, wants us to take this gift on a weekly basis, you know, but we're the ones resisting it. You know, we're the ones saying, oh, God, I'm too busy. I'm too busy to stop. I'm too busy. And God's like, no, you don't understand. I have all these gifts, all these blessings. You'll realize that you have more than you ever needed to. But first, just pause, reflect, take in all the goodness, all the beauty that's around you, realize that you are enough, that you are loved, you have enough, and then move on.
Yeah. And that's good. That's really good. You know, what I'm hearing from you is, and maybe you can answer this question better than I can, but what I'm hearing, it seems like you didn't realize how badly you needed to stop for a season. Was it surprising to you? Or like, whoa, I didn't realize I needed this as much as I really did.
Absolutely. My body told me that. I mean, for the first couple of days and weeks, I was just so tired and I was resting and sleeping. And I realized my body was telling me I was fatigued. But then I started to look back and God had sent messages into my life that were trying to tell me that, but I wasn't prepared to hear it. So I heard it as like a voice of critique. Rather than what it really was people acknowledging that even my ministry, even certain things were kind of out of whack, you know, because I just needed to take time away. So, but I didn't realize how much I needed that until I was able to stop and to pause and to reflect. And then rather than feeling so bad about in the past, I started to be more hopeful that things don't always have to be the way they were. Things can change. You know, I can change. I'm in the process of changing. So it became a hopeful thing for me.
Interesting. Which you didn't even realize until, or you didn't even think that it was possible to change until you ceased for a moment.
I just figured that things internally, all my struggles, all my fears, all my flaws and weaknesses. And again, we're always going to have those, but I just figured, well, that's who I am, right? Mm-hmm. I'm just going to have to deal with those and live with those and hope that some of them aren't uncovered. Hope that I can mask some of them by overworking or whatever. But then I realized, no, that we're always going to be flawed, but these things can improve. They can change. They can be completely transformed. And even external situations, you know, if somebody's in the situation where they just think they can never get out of it, it will always be like this. I think that's not the voice of reason. It's not the voice of hope or faith. That's the voice of fear. And I unknowingly and unwittingly sort of believe that about myself. Not that my situation is bad, but I sort of just vision like, okay, this is what life is going to be like.
Right, this is how it's going to be. It's always going to be this way.
And it's fine. It is what it is, but there can be no alternative. There can be nothing else. But that's a lack of creativity. That's a lack of imagination. And one of the things as I was reading, and some great authors like Brené Brown has been really good. I'm really appreciated reading her and Pete Scazzera and just a few others that they say, look, when you can stop and when you can rest, and what Brené Brown would say, and I agree, is when you can begin to practice being vulnerable, that can unlock and unleash compassion, connectivity, creativity, imagination, to be able to begin to not just dream, but believe of what can be, what the possibilities can be. But you need rest to be able to do that. You know, I'm reading this book right now. I think the author's name is Susan Beaumont. It's about liminality and being in the space of this like unknown, like you're not exactly sure where you're going. And we're all of us are in this space of liminality, this liminal season. But she makes a really good point. She said, like, and it's written for pastors and congregations, but anyone could benefit from it. She's like, when you're really uptight and strung out and you haven't rested, you might come to a decision and you'll see, well, it's black and white. There's only this or this. And both are really bad. It's like, well, I got to choose the lesser of two evils, right? If I choose this, well, then this people, like this group of congregation will really be upset. If I choose this decision, then this congregation, this group will be really upset. She said, but when you're actually embracing that time of liminality and you take time to pause, to really listen to all scenarios, to all solutions, and you're more attuned to the divine presence, to God's spirit, who is not just with you, but ahead of you, actually, is actually leading, is ahead of you, then very often, and she did all this quantitative and qualitative studies and research, she said, leaders will come back and say they discerned, they discovered, not and often not just by themselves, with other people, that there's a third option, or a fourth option, or a fifth option. That things aren't always as they seem. Whenever we feel like we're locked in, it's generally stress, anxiety, worry, fear, a lack of rest that is making us feel that way. So when we can develop some of these sacred rhythms and better routines to be able to pause and just breathe and listen to God and listen to our own hearts and listen to the hearts and the voices of others, then that can start to change the whole narrative as well.
So you mentioned sacred rhythms, and that allows us to enter into a different space, a space filled with hope, creativity, imagination, where the Spirit is working and we're open to hearing what the Spirit says. During this time, what were your sacred rhythms? And then, are there any that you're like, whoa, I have to continue engaging in this rhythm even when I go back to work?
Yeah. Yes, some of them I knew, but I had like sort of experimented with them in the past, but some of them became new to me. So one of them is like the physicality. I need to exercise. So I'm a runner, walker. When I don't do that for 2 or 3 days, I feel it in every fiber of my body. I know it. So I know I have to get outside and go for a run. Exercising, releasing those endorphins, just you feel better. And what I, at least for the first 2 or 3 months of during quarantine, I would go for a daily walk, regardless of the weather. Because also, every time you go for a walk, even if it's the same path, the weather's always different. So it's always going to be a different experience. Always. Right. Different sounds, different smells, different textures. And so for me, getting outside on a daily basis, exercising, and even if I wasn't running, like going for that daily walk. Now I've got a dog, so that helps. So that was really huge. Something else that I discovered that I never really did before is 10 minutes of silence and solitude. Now I actually have an app on my phone that helps with that. And I know it sounds kind of strange. It's called like Centering Prayer. And this Christian counselor told me about this because we actually did it together via Zoom a couple of days, because I would meet with him and I was really uptight. He said, we need to just pray. We need to breathe. Yeah. And so he taught me some really helpful postures for my body. And this app, there's a prayer. You read this prayer before, and then there'll be you can choose, but there's a sound that will begin it, like a gong. I chose a gong, gong.
Yeah.
3 times. And then you can set it for 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 10, 20. And the goal is actually to try to increase that, So I'm at 10 minutes right now, here's the interesting thing. Like even 60 seconds, you don't think 60 seconds is a long time until you either are doing like a yoga plank, for 60 seconds, hold it. You're like, that's a long time. Or you're trying to be silent and pray. But it is. And a lot can happen in 5 to 10 minutes. So we all have 10 minutes a day, all of us. It's just a matter of when and how you structure that. So yep. I've been doing that. And I'll tell you, Dave, the days that I don't do that are very different days than the days I take that 10 minutes and it's just silence. The silence and then the gongs after 10 minutes and, come back and I kind of open my eyes and I'm aware of my presence, my surroundings, and everything seems to be different at that point. So for me, what I try to do is before any decisions are made, before I will tomorrow start checking email or spying the email, before anything, try to spend those 10 minutes with God, really believing that God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit is coming. We are in that moment, those 10 minutes, we are inviting God's Spirit to come in and to do a work of preparation for the day ahead. So that's something. And then the third thing I've been trying to do, I don't do it as faithfully as I want to, but I have by my nightstand a composition journal, just a regular composition journal. And I've made it my own gratitude journal. It's pretty simple. The idea is at the end of each day, I just bullet point, could be one thing, could be 10 things that I was grateful for that day. Because what happens to me is I'm always thinking of what I don't have or what I wish went differently, or it's easy for me to fall into the negative, even if it was a hard day. And we all do that, and some days are hard, right? Some days are just challenging and difficult and you think nothing really went well today. But that's probably not true, because then when you actually think back and say, what were you grateful for? What good did happen? Where did you see beauty? Did you have a good meal? Was there a good conversation? Did your child make you laugh? Did you get outside and see a bird? Whatever it might be, you start to realize there's a lot of things that I have to be grateful for, let alone just the fact that I have a roof over my head, or a car that I can drive safely in a rainstorm in and didn't get into an accident. Like, all these times, they start to pile up. And what that does in our spirit, without even having to pray, without even having to say, dear Lord, I'm grateful for, we are expressing our thanks and our gratitude. And there's been research, scientific research done, which we won't get into, about how gratitude unlocks things in us that brings us to healthier and better places. And so for me, that's been very helpful. And it can be very simple. I mean, it can really be 2 minutes a night where you're just jotting down something. And you may not think it's making a big difference or an impact. But then also, if those are kind of some of your final thoughts of the day, I believe that you'll kind of, it helps enter into that night with just a better spirit posture.
Yeah, that's what's on your mind as you drift off to sleep.
Right, yeah.
Could be worse things to be thinking about.
There's always worse things to be thinking about, yes. Yeah. So this is helpful. At least it's helpful for me to not think about those things.
Oh, of course. Right, right. That's what you are giving your intention to. The last
you give your intention to, it has power, you know, it has impact on you.
Yep.
And I think that's the thing that, you know, I thought about with the Sabbath, you know, weekly Sabbath, or just these routines, these sacred rhythms, is just be intentional. You know, mm-hmm. if you are intentional with it, that alone, just your intentions alone, whether you follow through or not, the intentions alone can be very significant and helpful.
Yeah. So I was going to ask, obviously, all of us can't have a 3-month period where we can turn it all off, shut it down, and rest. Right. And you gave us three extremely helpful and simple. I mean, these are simple practices. Silence for 10 minutes, gratitude journal, physicality, movement. What would be your final piece of advice, your practical piece of advice? What would you want to say to us if we are, I guess, still on the fence about rest or slowing down? What would you want to say to the awakened congregation about this whole practice of rest?
Do it. Try it. You won't be disappointed. No, I think God knows exactly how we're wired and that we were made to rest. And we get so, so many problems happen, whether we realize it or not, because we're not resting. And so I think it's the reason why it's a commandment, you know, God tells us, remember the Sabbath, remember who you are, keep it holy, keep it separate, keep it special, keep it set apart, not out of duty. It's because it's actually one of the greatest gifts and blessings that you can experience. And you won't know it until you do it. So I would say just do it. Start small, start intentional. It doesn't have to be a 3-month period. You know, it doesn't even have to be a full day. But what if it's a part of a day? If it's your Sunday, you know, beginning with worship in church, and then you carve out 3 or 4 hours that afternoon to be able to rest, to find something really enjoyable to do that just brightens your day. God will show up in that process, and you won't be disappointed. And one of the things that can be helpful, again, like thinking about practical things that kind of create a boundary around this, is even, you know, make a little small list of during that day, during your Sabbath or those 3 or 4 hours, what will you not do? Like, I will not check my phone. I will not go on social media. I will not do this. And just stick to it. And then what are the things that you will do? And if you just have a little list, and again, start small, you know, start with a Sunday afternoon or something, and maybe you can expand that to the whole Sunday. But I really think it's beneficial. It's changed my life. It has opened up my heart. I feel, again, we're all going through this pandemic. It's still stressful and anxiety provoking. But for me personally, spiritually, I feel that I'm in a much better place to now deal with the emotions and to deal with everything because of rest, because of what God and God's spirit was able to do in me during those times of slowing down and focusing on God, saying, I'm enough, I have enough, and really seeking to be in that divine presence.
That's good. That's a good sales pitch for rest.
There you go. Yeah. Rest. It's what your body needs.
Well, I'm excited to hear over the next couple of months how this continues impacting you, because you've had these 3 months, but I mean, it's not over. No. So I'm excited to hear how this transforms your life moving forward, because that's the goal, right? That was the intent of these 3 months away.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and I'm curious too. I mean, now really the real work begins. I did this internal work, but now the real work and the real test. Are your prayers, you know, Dave, and awaken your prayers for me. I covet. I would really ask for that. And we're all in this together. And let's not forget, we're all in this together. We're partnering with God and bringing hope and renewal and restoration to lives and to communities and to our world. So we need rest so we can be about the work that God has for us.
That's where it starts, with us. Yeah.
Amen.
Well, hey, can you do one final thing for us? Would you mind saying a blessing over us this morning?
Yes, yeah, of course. I'd be honored to. Gracious and good God, we thank you for the gifts that you have given to us, the gifts daily of just your presence, of your favor, of your blessing, knowing that we are beloved daughters and sons of you, that we are enough and we have enough. I pray for Pastor Dave. I pray for the Awakened community, that you will instill upon them a spirit of renewal, a spirit of restoration, that they may be able to embark on this journey together of seeking greater rest so that they may be greater connected to one another and connected to you, that you might unleash and unlock compassion and energy and creativity and imagination in their community, that they might bring hope and healing to the community and to the world. So thank you for them. Thank you for their work and their witness in our area. And I pray blessing and favor upon them. In Christ's name, amen.